Hey, this is Keith. I'm the pastor of Blaze Church. Welcome to our podcast. I know today's message is going to inspire you, encourage you, and lead you to know God more. If you want to connect with us, visit us online at blazechurch.org. Enjoy today's message. All right, where are the Star Wars fans? They're the ones clapping. The rest of us are confused. What's the big deal? I don't get it. So we're so excited, we're just knocking over cameras. Joe got so excited. Don't worry, bro, no one sees it. No one, just everyone stare at Joe and Devin right now. It's the 11:30. I actually don't have a clock, technically. We don't even have to do anything here. No, we're so excited, though, as we kick off this series at the movies. So the big idea of this series is we want to discover God's truth in some of Hollywood's biggest hits. And so we believe that God is the creator of truth. God is the originator of truth. And if that's true, then when we look across culture and media and we get glimpses of truth, it can only come from God. He's the one who created. And so his image bearers are at work in culture, and we want to dissect it, and we want to find what God has to say to us. Now, the other big idea behind this series is that this is a good series. Say this word with me. Invite. Go ahead and say that. Invite. Let's try it all together. Invite. Okay, this is a, look, there's a Jedi right now fixing the camera. How epic is this church? She just like emerged from the Force. You're the best, Jackie. She's like, I am here. So we want to invite people out to this series. You might have friends or family members who have never entertained the thought of going to church. That is not going to happen. But if you're able to say, hey, look, come to church with me. We're talking about Avengers Endgame. We're talking about Frozen. It's a great way for you to invite your friends out. And so be missional during this season. In fact, we have a drive-in movie coming up for Frozen. And so we're excited for everything that's going to happen. So let's talk Star Wars. If you've never seen Star Wars before, I'm going to spoil a lot of it for you, but that's okay. If you haven't seen it by now, that's really on you, and you should have done what you need to do. So this is the 9th episode, Rise of Skywalker. It's the 9th episode in the Skywalker saga. And so for all of these years, since the 70s, they've been popping out these films, and this one is the culmination of it. And it's similar to what you would think of Star Wars if you're anywhat familiar. You have the dark side and the light side, and you have those who are the resistance. They're the good guys resisting the new order, and we find out now there's the final order, and it follows some of our heroes, Kylo Ren and Rey and Poe, as they fight against the dark side. So there's two characters that I really want to highlight for you today that we're going to discover some of God's truth from by looking at their lives. And it's Kylo Ren and Rey. So Kylo Ren, he's on the dark side. He was the one that had that awesome lightsaber that had like the little red bar this way and that way. And he's actually the son of Han Solo. In previous episodes, he killed his father, and he is now engulfed by the dark side. He really doesn't have any hope to move forward out of the darkness. The other main character that we discover is Rey, and she doesn't have a past, or at least she doesn't know what it is. Her identity has a lot of question marks in it, whereas Kylo's identity, he knows the darkness that's there. He knows the poor decisions and the mistakes he's made, and it's defining him. Rey is on this search to find out, who are my parents? What's my purpose? And in this episode, the 9th episode, she is training to be a Jedi. Now, the word that I want to pull out from this movie for us today is the word hopeless. Every single week, we are going to look at these movies, and we're going to see the question that they cause us to ask, that you're asking today, whether you're a Christian or not. Every person asks these questions. And so our question for this movie is, what do you do in hopeless situations? Think about it. What do you do when life is hopeless? Because every single one of us, we have a response to the hopelessness. You have a plan of action. You have already what you are going to do when things feel hopeless. You have your favorite Ben and Jerry's flavor, right? You have the thing you're going to turn to. You have the person you're going to call. You have the response. You have the emotion you'll embrace. You and I have that. So what is it? What do you do when life is hopeless? Let me give you some hopeless scenarios that we can face. Maybe for you during this time, this COVID season, you felt the hopelessness of losing a family member. And life just feels really hopeless because they're not here now. And this will be one of the first holidays without mom or dad or brother or sister. Maybe for you, there's hopelessness in your relationships because you have that family member that you haven't spoken to in years. And when you think about them, it feels so hopeless. There's no way they're going to show up. There's no way my marriage is going to be restored. There's no way I'm going to get through this debt, right? During this time, you maybe had a business and now it's collapsed, or you had some financial footing, but now that's gone. Maybe you've tried to have children, right? We've had friends who have tried to have kids, and you just see the hopelessness of another failed pregnancy. You're not going to have any kids. Maybe you're facing a medical situation today and you've tried all the treatments and the doctors are looking at you and they're saying it's hopeless. What do you do in those moments where life is hopeless? Because none of us can plan for it, right? I remember March 1st is when we had our vision night here, and we went to 3 services that morning, and Sunday night we talked about the new building that is coming. Can you say that with me? Is coming. There is a new building coming on that property. And we cast all this vision. And you know what I forgot to mention? By the way, there's going to be a global pandemic. We're actually not going to gather for 16 weeks and life is going to fall apart. No, because life's hopelessness often just creeps up on us. So while we may not be able to prepare for the specifics, I'm going to encourage you today by looking at both God's word and the Star Wars world of how we can find hope in hopeless moments. So for the resistance, the good guys, they get some intel from a spy that shows them just how hopeless their situation is. Take a look at this clip. All right, so you got to know a little bit of Star Wars history to know the hopelessness of this moment. Emperor Palpatine was dead in episode 6. And so now, 3 episodes later, they're getting news that this emperor that they thought was dealt with is actually still alive. He's resurrected. And as I thought about that, I realized that oftentimes hopelessness feeds on longevity. That the longer you're in a hopeless situation, the more hopeless you feel. And maybe for you today, there are some things that you thought were dealt with. You thought you kicked that habit. You thought the addiction was broken. You thought that you forgave and moved on. But it feels like there's a resurrected Palpatine that just keeps coming up. And you just can't seem to get past the hopelessness of this moment. And so here we're going to see in Mark chapter 5 that there are 2 people who are facing hopeless situations. One has been facing it for over a decade. Another, it's been a short time, but because of the magnitude of the situation, I'm sure it feels like forever. So Mark chapter 5, verse 22, we meet Jairus. It says that when one of the synagogue leaders named Jairus came, when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." Now, Jairus, defined as a synagogue leader, that means that he has a lot of respect, a lot of authority. In this first century, he would have set up the church services at synagogue. He would have been known by the people in that community. For him to fall at the feet of Jesus is not a sight you would ever see a synagogue leader doing at the feet of some rabbi, especially this self-proclaimed rabbi named Jesus. And yet he falls at his feet because his great identity can do nothing to help him from the hopeless situation he's in. Come on, haven't you found that you might have the greatest education, the greatest amount of money, the greatest relationships, but you get the right hopeless situation to come your way, and it feels like none of that makes a difference now. None of that matters. It's not going to help me. And here this dad falls at the feet of Jesus, begging for him to come and heal his little girl. Now, Jesus agrees to go, and at the same time, we meet a second person with a very different identity, who is hopeless. It says in verse 25 that a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Did you catch that? We meet Jairus, but now what's her name? We don't get her name. Her brokenness and her hopelessness defines her. She is the woman who's been bleeding for 12 years. And maybe if you've been caught in hopelessness for so long, you start to believe the lie that that situation now gets to define you. That now you are broken. You are used up. You're just divorced. You're just unemployed. You just can't have children. You'll just never get better. And we allow our situation to define us. And that's what this woman is facing. An identity that is marked by her battle, by her hopelessness. So, getting back to Star Wars, there's a moment where Rey and Ren are having a conversation. And remember, Kylo Ren, he knows his identity. It is marked by the brokenness. It's marked by the hopelessness. It's marked by the dark decisions he's made. But Rey doesn't know her identity. She's searching for it. And she believes that if I could find out who I am, then maybe I could have a little peace. And there comes this moment where Kylo Ren knows who she is, knows her identity, and he tells her. And it's not the news she's hoping for. And her situation goes from bad to worse. Take a look at this. What's she gonna do? So here, she discovers her identity. She discovers that it's way worse than she thought. She's actually the granddaughter of the resurrected Emperor Palpatine. And for this woman that day with Jesus, she knows how bad her situation is. She knows that she's unclean. According to the law of that day in Jewish culture, she could not go anywhere without announcing her uncleanness. She was more than likely not married, and if she was, she was divorced at this point because a constant flow of blood would have rendered her unable to have children, which was so primary in this culture. She's outcasted. She can't go to the synagogue. She's definitely never met Jairus before because she can't go to church unclean. And here she is, broken and hopeless. And it says in verse 27 that when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and she touched his cloak because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. A miracle happens. She reaches out and she touches Jesus and she's healed immediately. And if Mark had finished the story there, then what you and I would have is a really good hero to be like. Man, we just got to be like that woman. We just got to have enough faith and touch Jesus and then we'll find our healing and God will respond if we just reach out. But the story doesn't end there because that's not really the point. Jesus goes on to keep looking through the crowds because he notices that power had gone out from him. And he asks the disciples, who touched me? And they're like, dude, there's like a million people here. Like everybody's touching you. What do you mean who touched me? There's no 6 feet social distancing at this point. And he's like, no, someone touched me. I felt the power go out from me. And it says that the woman, realizing what had happened, she falls at his feet afraid because she knows by being out in public, she undoubtedly touched some other people that day. She shouldn't have been there. And now Jesus is calling her out. She's afraid. What will he do? According to the law, he can have her killed right there in the public square. Look what he says. Verse 34, he said to her, say this word with me, daughter. He says to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. When was the last time she heard the word daughter? Probably wasn't earlier that day or the day before. Probably hasn't been for quite some time. She's been the woman with blood. She's been defined by her illness. She's been defined by her sickness. She's been stuck and hopeless. But Jesus now redefines her and gives her the hope that she most need. Yes, she received a physical healing that day, but Jesus isn't content to stop there. He wants to heal her. And that word in the Greek is sozo. That means complete healing, both physical and spiritual. And what he does is he redefines her identity. You came here as a woman with an issue of blood, but you are leaving a daughter of God. And he declares that over her in front of everybody. He says, daughter. Now, the issue that I have is while this is taking place, what's going on with Jairus? Jairus was the one who started this day. Remember, he was the one who said, Jesus, come with me. And they're on their way to Jairus' house. And now this situation comes up. And so it says in verse 35, while Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. And look what they say. Your daughter, Jairus, is dead. They said, now say these next two words with me. Why bother? Why bother? Come on, have you heard that before? Have you said it to yourself before? Why bother? But we've tried counseling. We've tried working through our issues. Why bother? Just accept it. We've been to every doctor. We've tried for so long. Why bother? I've tried the church thing. I thought that I could overcome this addiction and this habit. I prayed. I really did. I meant it this time. Why bother? Jairus is now hit with hopelessness. Your daughter is dead. See, there's this moment in Star Wars as the story continues where Ren, Kylo Ren, he doesn't believe that there's any hope for him any longer. After this epic fight scene between him and Rey, his mother reaches out through the Force to try to bring him back to the light side. And in her reaching out, she loses her life. And so now he has killed his father. He lost his mother. Now, I mean, there's really no chance of him overcoming the darkness. There's no hope. And it's in this moment that he experiences something powerful. Look at what happens to Kylo Ren. So here it is, when he believes there's no hope, it's the voice of his dad that speaks to him. It's the voice of dad saying, come home, Ben. He redefines him. He gives him that identity. And Jairus has now just heard, why bother the teacher any longer? There's no hope. I mean, your daughter's dead. It's one thing if Jesus is going to come heal her, but she's dead. Why bother? What's interesting, if you read the full account in Mark chapter 5, there is never a moment where Jesus talks to Jairus. Mark doesn't record it. Jesus is approached by Jairus. Jairus says, please come. And Mark 5:24 says Jesus went with him. Jesus has spoken to the woman. He's spoken to the disciples. He hasn't spoken to Jairus yet. Not until now. Not until Jairus is at his lowest point, hopeless. And what is it that he needs in that moment? He needs the voice of God. Because look, overhearing what they said in verse 36, Jesus told him, don't be afraid, just believe. Just believe. And I love that phrase because Jesus does not go after Jairus. He say, come on, man, have more faith. Come on, don't, come on, you got to muster up something in you. Come on, you just need more faith, more. He takes a small word and says, just. Like, just a little bit. No, you don't need this massive amount of faith. In fact, the only size faith you need is like a mustard seed. You just a little bit of faith. Just believe. And Jesus goes with Jairus and the disciples back to the house, and they clear out the house, and no one's there but mom, dad, Peter, James, and John, and this little girl. And Jesus takes her by the hand, it says in verse 41, and he said to her, Talitha kum, which means, little girl, I say to you, get up. He speaks. And immediately the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. And at this, they were completely astonished. So remember, our question was, what do you do in hopeless situations? What is it that you and I do when life is hopeless? And upon reading this moment, you might be tempted to say, well, the answer is I have to have more faith. I've got to believe. I mean, the woman believed and she got there, and Jairus, he was kind of wavering. So Jesus said, just believe. But that little girl, there's no way. Last time I checked, dead people can't believe. So how come she was healed? She didn't have any ability to believe. See, it wasn't the level of faith that brought hope. It was the leader of faith that brought hope. Every single one of those people that day were at different places in their walk with God. And so if you and I just say, well, the only answer to having hope in a hopeless situation is I've got to believe more, well, then that puts a lot of pressure on us, doesn't it? Doesn't that create some kind of a works-based gospel that says if you're good enough, you'll get healed? If you pray enough, if you believe enough, then maybe it'll come your way? Now listen, we believe fully in God's ability to heal us today. If we could do it today, I would just throw oil at you from 6 feet and then do like a laying on of hands this way, right? That's how we would get it done, right? Social distancing, laying and anointing. But we believe in God's power, and we believe what scripture says, that a prayer offered in faith is heard, that the prayers of a righteous man are earnest, they're acceptable, they're listened to. But understand this, when it comes to hope and salvation, you do nothing to contribute to your own saving. Faith is our response to the saving work of Christ. When you believe the gospel, you are simply responding to what's already been done for you. That's why we can say with assurance that all who believe will be saved. Because it's not, well, I'm good enough and that's why I got in and you're not so good and man, you need a whole lot more Jesus than I do, bro. It's not based on that. No, faith is our response to the saving work of Christ. Faith is your response. It is your response, and you need to respond. Because just like when you're offered a gift, you can't just say, oh, this is cool, I got a gift. No, you need to open the package. And that's called faith. But your salvation was achieved for you by Jesus. And in hopeless situations, you need the voice of God. That would be like if I show up at your house and you're sick and I knock on the door and say, hey, I got what you need. Stop being sick. You'd be like, okay, if I could do that, I would. Or how often you've seen someone, maybe they're battling depression, anxiety, fear. You say, just be happy. Don't you think if I could just be happy, I would just be happy? That's not the answer. We don't look in here. We listen for the voice of God. See, at the end of this episode, it seems like all hope is lost. Palpatine has now sucked the life force out of Ben Solo and Rey, and they're lying there, and he's getting stronger, and he's adding all of this life to his final order, who's destroying the resistance. And as Rey is lying on the floor, I want you to see where her hope comes from, because it's not inward, it's outward. Look at this last clip. Where did she find her help from in that moment? It was the voices of the Jedi. I know what you're thinking. Can we just watch the rest of the movie? You know, if you're not aware, actually, this week we're doing another movie for the next few weeks, and we have movies showing all over the island of different people who have opened up their houses. So if you didn't get a chance to see it this past week, go to blazechurch.org/movies, and you can find a movie time and watch our next movie that's coming up next week. But she heard the voices of the Jedi. That propelled her to get up in a hopeless situation. And I'm telling you, we need the voice of God to have hope in hopeless situations. It is his voice that you and I need to hear. When life is hopeless, we need his voice speaking. I can't just self-motivate myself. I'm not going to just declare a gospel that says, just look inward and get you a couple self-help books and just find it in here and pull it out. Listen, I know me. I'm not strong enough for that. And God knows you, and he knows that you can't fix your broken situation. And so he speaks. And if you are in Christ, you have the beautiful blessing of hearing the voice of God. Look at the words of Jesus. May they encourage you today. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. See, what you need to understand is the situation that you're facing today, the brokenness that you're feeling, it does not have the authority or the right to snatch you out of the hand of your Savior, Jesus Christ. It does not get that ability. It does not get to define you. You do not show up and say, oh, here I am, divorced, unemployed, childless, broken, facing debt. No, you are first and foremost a child of God. You have been defined by your Creator. If you are in Christ, the old is gone, the new has come. There is no condemnation for you. Now, if you've never put your faith in Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for you to call out to God and say, God, rescue me from my sin. Redefine me by your word. If you are in Christ, you are hearing, daughter, son. He's calling you. So what do we need in hopeless situations? We need the voice of God. Which maybe then you ask, okay, but how do I hear God speak? How can I hear God? And I'm going to give you the answer, okay? It's one word. Listen. And that's so anticlimactic. Like, I thought there was going to be like a secret code. It's like a special Bible verse I've never read before. No, it's this easy. Watch. Wait. Listen. I've concluded in my life when I'm not hearing God speak, I have a listening problem. God doesn't have a speaking problem, right? That's just what it is. I've concluded that in our marriage sometimes too, right? We're going to be 11 years in a few weeks, right? There's a listening problem. There's not a speaking problem from him. See, there's sometimes in our lives competing voices. There's the voice of busyness. I've always got to be on the go. I've always got to take care of things. I can't have a day off. I've just got to keep going. There's competing voices, right? Netflix, 98% match. How'd they know I could binge another show? Right? There's all of these competing voices in our lives to take away our time and our attention. Maybe it's the voice of fear that is so loud in your voice that it's drowning out God's voice. But I'm telling you, he's speaking. If you are his child, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, they listen. And so position yourself this week to know the voice of God. Spend some intentional time in God's word. Read Mark 5. You don't know where to read? Just read Mark 5. You already have a leg up on it. You heard it on Sunday. But just let God speak to you through his word. Pray. Make this a priority, gathering together online or in one place to press into the presence of God together. Because in hopeless situations, an outward voice or an inward voice, that's not what you need. You've tried that. You and I need the voice of God to speak into our hopelessness, into our darkness, and to remind us of whose we are, a daughter, a son of God. So I want to pray for you right now, especially if you're facing a hopeless situation, that you would have ears to hear what the Holy Spirit wants to say to your heart. So join me in prayer as our team joins me on stage. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your goodness. I thank you, Lord, that you have a good plan for our lives and that you never stop speaking. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear you speak this week. I thank you for every person here today and those online and those who will be tuning in later in the week. I pray especially for those who are facing hopelessness, who it has been so long of the same report, of the same news, of the same brokenness. But God, we are asking you to speak into the darkness today, to speak into our hopelessness, and remind us of who we are in you. In your name we pray, amen.